This is the second new and unfamiliar test related to Q&A 304, Ducks Eliminated. We're going to dictate this at 225 words per minute. Ready?
How are you able to tell whether the sound cannons are effective?
Well, my understanding is that an individual duck is likely to be scared away by a sound cannon. You are suggesting that that may only persist for 2 hours. I would suggest that most ducks probably aren't interested in returning if once scared away by a sound cannon or separate sound cannons. So we would expect that a duck entering an area that's configured with sound cannons for the purpose of scaring them away, that it has the effect that actually encourages them to leave the area.
When you say we would expect, who are the we you are referring to?
Sustainable resource development in general. That's one of the industrial practices that have been accepted as deterrents.
And so Syncrude's use of sonic cannons is then an effective deterrent?
It's a part of a deterrent system, and we consider it one aspect of that system that is effective.
Yes, I know that you consider it as part of a system, but you and I were talking about noise and taking an awfully long time to get to the point. I understood you to say that the ravens got used to all sorts of industrial noises. I think I'm quoting you, including the sonic cannons. Then we went on to ducks, and I asked you if the sonic cannons would scare away ducks, and you said yes. Then I asked if you would be surprised to know the effect is only 2 hours, and then we had our discussion about that. I'm now going back to your first statement on the subject of ducks and sonic cannons when you said that sonic cannons were effective in your view to scare away ducks. Do you stand by that statement? I can have it read back to you if you like.
Sonic cannons are deemed to be an effective method of scaring away ducks.
Tell me why there are so many pictures of what was happening.
Well, I have a camera that takes many frames per second simply by holding down the trigger, and so this represents a fairly short period of time.
Well, it will do that if you have the camera set to burst mode, and I take it you had it set to burst mode.
I believe I did.
Why?
Because that's the setting it usually is on, and when one is trying to capture wildlife, burst mode, as you have described it, I didn't know that's what it was called, is the most effective way to do that.
And from the first appearance of the raven until the last photograph, which is heart rendering, which is the raven eating the duck, how much time are we talking about?
I'm sorry, you're asking me a question about the time from the first appearance of the raven until the time we see one of the two ravens actually physically attacking the duck?
I had asked you a minute or two ago about the elapse of time between photograph 89 and photograph 99, and you told me that that was less than 2 minutes, and I'm now asking you how much time passed between the first appearance of the raven until the eating of the duck.
Okay, well, image 88 was obviously taken before image 89, so we'll add a bit of time for that situation, but we're talking a span of a few minutes, and I don't have a detailed memory of exactly how many minutes and seconds that would have been.
And from that time, the first appearance of the raven, until the last photograph, why were you more interested in taking this horrible picture than you were in putting that poor duck out of its misery?
That's a good question, ma'am.
Yes, it is. A very good question, sir, and I hope you have a good answer, because it seems that you are far more interested in depicting horror than in the feelings and condition of that helpless duck.
Certainly that could be an interpretation from the series of photographs. However, I was more than 60 feet away in a boat, and I was unable to access the shore from that boat. So our response at that time was somewhat helpless in that we could not get to the duck. The shotgun that we carried with us was not able to render the duck euthanized from that distance. Birdshot will not carry that far, so our response at that time was to ask the people on the shore to come out to that area of the dike to pick up that duck. Unfortunately, they were unable to get there before the ravens had attacked it.
Do you stand by that?
Yes. Understand, ma'am, that the boat was attempting to reach the duck from the time we identified the duck on the shore, which was quite a bit further out. You'll see from my notes for that day, the eagle that I had earlier photographed had dropped something. So as we proceeded towards what we considered probably a bird that the eagle had dropped, a few minutes of time elapsed. Recognizing that the boat was not going to be able to get up there, we did whatever we could, which was call for help at that time.
Why didn't you get out of the boat and walk across the shore and get the duck?
I think we discussed this yesterday, ma'am. The Syncrude employees were pretty clear that the quality of sand where it meets the shore is not typical of what you would expect in a normal aquatic environment. It has a consistency of quicksand, and it's an area where people are not supposed to tread. We took their advice as being correct and that we were not to step out of the boat if we could not get to an obviously solid piece of the shore, which in this case we could not.
Then please, sir, tell me how it is that you expected someone from the Syncrude shore team to go out and get the duck.
I'd be happy to explain that, ma'am. As one proceeds further up the shore and higher in the sand of the beach, if we were to call it such, then that becomes less and less liquefied and somewhat safer to travel on. On the previous day, I had made entry to this tailings area from one of the tailings dike access ramps and had been able to walk down a certain distance. But even at that time, we had been advised that we can't get too close to the water's edge because of the quicksand-like nature of that water-sand interface area. Holy cow. That ends this 225 test. Hey, if you've got a minute, I've got something else I can read to you. It's about two wolves. One evening, an old Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside all of us. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins the battle?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." The end. Take care. Bye for now.